I would like to echo the words of Gage, the thing that he said yesterday. It is good for us to be here. Tell you a little story. Came from PTP, and you know what they do at PTP with preachers, they fire them up. And so the fire was burning inside of me, but I went home and I was a little sick, and so that fire couldn't come out. And then I'm coming over here, and yesterday that fire that already is raging was just further stoked by the fine preaching that we heard. And back at North Main, they don't know what's coming back. I'm on fire because of the great lessons that we have heard. So very powerful. That's the Word of God. That's what the Word of God will do to those who love it. It will set you on fire. I'm thankful for the opportunity to preach. I'm thankful for the elders, for those who have planned this fine lectureship, to have invited me, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to preach the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. If there's an area in our lives that we could all use some adding to, it would be the area of patience, I believe. We live in a society impatient, addicted to speed. We want it now. We want it yesterday. We can make food and reheat food faster than we could ever before. And yet, with 30 seconds still left on the clock, we ask ourselves, how long is this going to take? We can go from point A to point B faster than we could ever before. Bullet trains and jet planes, and yet in the car we still ask, are we there yet? We can go into any store and we can find anything that we want under the sun, and we have to stand in line to get it, and still we complain, well, how long is she going to take to ring up all these goods? We can go on the World Wide Web and we can search the world for literally anything. We can find anything, and yet we still sit in front of our browser and ask the question, is this thing ever going to load? We come to worship in air-conditioned buildings, padded pews, and PowerPoints. We worship in more comfort than any generation before us. We worship less than any generation before us. And yet some still ask the question, I wonder how long he's going to preach. We are an impatient people living in a society addicted to instantaneous gratification. We want it now. Patience has become a casualty of war, a virtue of choice, not command, a tradition of old. And so the Lord God of heaven approaches us through his inspired penman Peter, and he says, brethren, these things are not so to be. He says, brethren, you ought to be different. I want you to add to your faith. Add to your faith virtue. Add to your faith knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience. It is my duty this morning to address the topic of patience. And if I don't get through with all of it, you can email me. I'll send you the notes. I already told somebody that yesterday. I may not get through all of it. We have 5 points. And I'm going to try to get through all of it because all of it is very, very pertinent to this subject. We're going to consider, number one, the application of the word patience. We want to understand this word and how it is used in the Bible. Number two, we want to consider the areas of patience. In what area do I need patience? Then number three, we want to consider the attitude of patience. Patience has an attitude. Patience has a disposition. Patience has a way that it acts. Then we want to, number four, consider the abuse of patience. It is very possible to abuse patience, to use it in a manner that God has not prescribed. And then last, we will consider the advantage of patience. If you have your copy of the Word of God, I hope you have it handy as we study the Word of God this morning, as we engage in this Bible study. Let's first consider the application of patience. We find this word patience, patiently, and patient 47 times in the King James translation of the Bible. But the word patience, the idea of patience, is saturated through Holy Writ. You cannot but read of the lives of men and women in the Bible. You cannot but read of God, and you will find the idea of patience set forth in it. There are four words in the Greek text that I want us to consider that is translated patience. And it carries the same general idea of patience, but each one of them is applied in different ways, and I want us to consider that. The first one is the Greek word makrothumia. Makrothumia, translated patience. The definition of the word is forbearance, long-suffering, self-restraint before proceeding to action. The quality of a person, this is our definition that I want us to focus on, the quality of a person who is able to avenge himself but yet refrains from doing so. He's patient. He endures. The application of this, it carries the idea of a person who is being oppressed, a person who is being wronged, and he has the opportunity and he has the ability to avenge himself, but he does not. He endures. He takes the wrong. He takes the oppression against him. He exercises a patience that says, I will not avenge. We see a description of this in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Turn there with me, if you will. 1 Timothy 1, chapter 15 and 16, we see a description of this makrothumia. Notice what the Bible says. This is a faithful saying, the Apostle Paul speaking. He says, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, this for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all makrothumia, all long-suffering, all ceasing from the avenging part, with all long-suffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. And so here the Apostle Paul says that the Lord was long-suffering towards him. Consider that the Apostle Paul was persecuting the church of God. And when you persecute the church of God, you are persecuting God. On the road to Damascus, the Lord appeared unto him and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And that should bring comfort in our hearts. The world might want to persecute us, but we're not being persecuted alone. Jesus says, when you persecute my people, you are persecuting their master. You're persecuting me. And so Jesus had the opportunity to avenge himself there on the road to Damascus. He certainly has the ability to avenge himself on the road to Damascus. And he has the authority to avenge himself on the road to Damascus with the Apostle Paul. The Lord God could have struck the Apostle Paul dead and there would have been nothing wrong with it. The Apostle Paul would have deserved everything that he got for what he did to the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible says that the Lord was long-suffering. He had the ability to avenge himself, but he did not. He did not. Instead, he showed patience. He showed patience. And then the Apostle Paul further tells Timothy, he says, he did this for a pattern. How beautiful is that? He did it for a pattern. For who, Paul? For those who should come afterwards. For those who should believe on his name. That's you and I. You see, we deserve death. Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death. We deserve nothing but death. Sin is against God, and so God has the opportunity. He has the ability. He has all authority to strike us dead, to send us to a devil's hell. We deserve it, but he's not going to do it. Why? Because the Apostle Paul says he's going to extend patience. He's going to extend mercy. And so we have the description here of this word makrothumia. Patience carries the idea of being slow to anger, especially when you are being wronged. But then there's another word translated patience, and this word is makrothumeo. This word has its roots in the first word. It's somewhat similar. This word is also a compound word. We have the word makro, which means big, as we understand it, or in this case, long. And we have the word phumos, phumia. This is the word which means wrath or anger. So when you consider the word makrothumeo, it is long in coming to anger. It is the spirit that is able to suffer wrong. It is the spirit that is able to wait and not proceed to anger very quickly. To suffer long, the definition says in Webster's, to be long-suffering as opposed to be hasty in anger or punishment. So the word paints a picture of someone who is slow to anger. Someone who is not quick in to destroy. Someone who has you in their sights, but yet he is not going to pull the trigger. He's going to be slow to anger. We see a description of this in 2 Peter chapter 3, once again with the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. The Bible says, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not delaying his coming, as some men think that he is, being tardy," is that word. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is makruthumeo with us. He is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." You see, the Lord God of heaven has once again the opportunity and the ability and the authority, the right to be angry at us for sin, to be disappointed at us for sin. But the Bible says that he does not send his son. Why? Because he is being patient with us. He doesn't want anyone to perish. Do we understand that in the garden he could have started over? He could have started over. Who would have known? He could have wiped Adam and Eve off the face of the planet and then created from dust two new couples who may have done better. We don't know. He could have done that, but he did not. He had patience with mankind. Don't you know that on the cross he could have set him free? As the song says, Jesus could have called 10,000 angels. But why did he not? Because he loves you and I. He is patient with us. He's long-suffering, long in coming to anger. He did not do these things. We receive patience from the Father that we do not deserve. He's long-suffering. Every day the sun comes up, the fact that we are here this very morning tells us that the Lord has been patient with us. He's not given the order yet for his son to go. He has not blown that trumpet yet and says, "Go burn it all." He's been patient with us. He loves us. And so we see this idea of patience, makruthumeo, set forth by the Lord. But then also, there is another word translated patience, and this is the word hupomone. Hupomone. And the definition of this word is a bearing up, endurance, or to things of circumstances, cheerful endurance. I like that definition. Cheerful endurance. Having the ability to endure something in a cheerful manner. This word translated patience is different in application, but not necessarily in meaning, to makruthumia and makruthumeo. The word makruthumeo has reference to being patient towards people. The word hupomone, when you see it in your Bible, has reference to being patient with circumstances and with various things in your life. It is hopeful endurance. It is the ability to be patient, to wait regardless of circumstances. It is the quality of character that does not allow one to surrender when circumstances are very tough or trying around him. It is the ability to focus on the hope in Jesus Christ and not the hardships of this life. Hupomone, the Bible says. It is a patience, a cheerful endurance. We find the description of this in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. In Hebrews chapter 11, the Hebrews writer has gone through a list of men and women who have exercised, who have shown their faith, who have shown their patience in the Lord. And then in verse 1 and 2 of chapter 12, he says, "Wherefore, seeing that we are surrounded by all of these people, by such a greater cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with hupomone, with patience, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Patience carries the idea of persevering, enduring in hope. He says, they endured, and so we have to endure. And why? Because we're looking to Jesus. It's a cheerful endurance. You see, we have this great hope, and we'll talk some more about that here in a bit. We have this great hope in Jesus Christ, And so we don't walk around moping. I like what someone said yesterday when you ask a Christian, are you going to heaven? Are you saved?
I don't know.
You should know. The Bible has given us all assurance. We have full assurance. You are going to heaven. If you're living faithfully, you're going. That's what the Bible says, and God does not lie. And so we have this cheerful endurance. We have this hope. We're looking towards something, and so we walk patiently. We endure. Another word translated patience is also the word hupomeno. Hupomone, little different, hupomeno. This is another compound Greek word. The word hupo is the preposition, which means under, and the word meno is the verb, which means to remain. To remain under, the Bible says. I love that. To tarry, to remain, to persevere. Under misfortunes, trials, to hold fast one's faith in Jesus Christ. Patience allows one to endure persecution. It allows one to stay under. It is the frame of mind that says, even though persecution is wearing me down, I will not quit. Even though it is wearing me to the ground, even though I'm weary, I will remain under. I can't help but to think of a boxer when he is in the ring and he is being pummeled from left to right, and this his opponent is just hitting him and hitting him, and his manager wants to throw in the towel and says, this is enough, you need to quit. And he says, no, no, I'm staying under. I'm staying under. I'm going to finish this fight. I'm going to finish my course. I'm going to finish it until the very end, till they say it's over. I'm going to stay under the persecution and hardships. A description of this is set forth for us in Mark chapter 13 and verse 13. The Lord speaking, he says, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who hupomenos, remains under, will be saved in the end. Shall in the end be saved. Jesus says we will be hated. When the world hates you, don't be surprised. Oh, they're doing bad things. The Supreme Court made the decision that they made. Are we surprised about that? They're immoral. That's what they do. They're a moral society. They're going to do immoral things. The Lord says don't be surprised about it. In fact, he says they will hate you. But the one who endures persecution is coming. Sure it is. Better be ready for it. It's coming. And whether we go to heaven or not depends on whether we have the patience, the hupomeno, to remain under. When they're carrying our preachers off to prison, do we have the hupomeno to stay patient? Do we have it to stay in the fight, to continue to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? That test for us is coming. We better prepare ourselves. The Lord says we need patience. So now that we understand the application of this word, that it is a patience towards people, it is a patience towards circumstances, it is an endurance, a cheerful endurance, it is a remaining under. Let's consider point number two. Let's consider the areas of patience. Our application of patience demands that we implement it in the following area. We must be patient with people. I know that if there is an area in my life that needs patience, it is this one. Patient with people. Because I have in my mind what needs to happen. And usually things don't happen the way I think it needs to happen. Especially with people. And so then you get frustrated because they're not doing what you think they should be doing. And there is no patience. We have to be patient with people. We have to be patient, the Bible says, when we are opposed, when we are oppressed. One of our definitions of patience suggests that we refrain from retaliating when people oppose us. I must possess the quality of mind that says, yes, they're oppressing me. Yes, they're opposing me. Yes, they're saying all sorts of evil against me, but I'm not going to retaliate. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to wait on the Lord. I'm going to call on him. Is this not the example set before us in 1 Samuel chapter 18 of David? You know, when the woman was shouting, David or Saul, he killed his thousands. Oh, but David, he killed his 10,000s, and he didn't like that, and so he sought after David. He wanted to kill him. And David had the opportunity to end his life many times. He certainly had the ability to end his life many times. But wait a second, he did not have the authority to end his life all those times. He says, I will not touch the Lord's anointed. He understood what Romans chapter 12 and verse 19 says. Vengeance is mine, the Lord speaking. I will repay. I have to understand that even those who are oppressing me, even though I have the opportunity to avenge myself and the ability to avenge myself, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to remain patient. I'm going to wait on the Lord because it is His job to repay, not mine. And so when this world persecutes us, we're not going to pick up arms and fight back. Our kingdom is not of this world, the Lord says. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight. But now is it not of this world? We are going to fight with the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. We are going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. They can throw us in prison and we'll preach it there too. They can kill us and we'll go to heaven. But we are going to continue to do what God has instructed us to do and endure and be patient. Romans chapter 12 verse 21, the Bible says, do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. If we want society to get better, we have to get better. We have to be righteous and preach righteousness. We have to do those things which are good. We many times may have the ability and the opportunity to avenge ourselves, but we certainly do not have the authority. So what do? The Bible says you pray for them. You pray for them. You pray for those who despisefully use you and persecute you. The Bible says if your enemy is hungry, you feed them. The Bible says that we are to bless them, we are to pray for them and wait upon the Lord because God is going to take care of them. He's going to take care of you. We need to be patient when we are opposed, but then also we need to be patient with people when we are offended. Peter stands before the Lord in Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. Peter stands before the Lord and he asks this question. He says, Lord, if my brother sins against me, how many times should I forgive him? Exactly how many times, Lord, am I supposed to put up with this? How many times am I supposed to put up with this brother who continually does wrong and then comes and asks forgiveness sincerely, is the idea here? How many times? The Lord says, Peter asked seven times. Jesus said unto him, 70 times seven. The Lord set forth a parable, and in it we find our command to be patient with folks. The parable is about a servant who owes his master money. And he does not have the ability to pay his master. And notice what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 18, verse 26. It says, the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. He begged for patience. He begged for mercy. We mess up sometimes, don't we? We mess up. We say and do things that we ought not. We hurt people, even sometimes when we don't mean to. And other people do the same thing. Can we be anything but patient with one another? Understanding that all of us are cut from the same cloth, so to speak. That we are all going to make mistakes. Sometimes we are the people offended or hurt, and sometimes we are the ones doing the offending or the hurting. And so how can I not be patient? I need the patience of my brother. And so therefore I have to extend that patience to them as well. God wants us to extend forgiveness when it is sought and seek forgiveness when we have sinned. Patience. More often than not, our patience with people needs to be improved. If the Lord can have patience with me day in and day out, then certainly I can have patience with my brethren. If He can look at me and say, you know what, I have seen what you have done. I know the life that you are living. I know where you're wrong. I know where you're not doing what you're supposed to do. If He can look at this world and see the immorality that takes center stage in the world today and still delay the coming of His Son, not willing that any should perish, then certainly I can do the same, emulate Him and be patient with people. But then we also must be patient in circumstances. There's a saying that you are either coming from a trial or you're heading towards one. Job said, man is a few days and full of troubles. That's true. The Lord says, in the world you will have persecution. In the world you will have tribulation. James says in James 1, 2, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. Not if you fall into it. He says when you fall into it. It's going to happen. If you are a Christian, a child of God, if you live in this life, whether you're Christian or not, you're going to face trials. Hardships come upon everyone by various ways and means. How do we overcome? How do we remain the course in these terrible circumstances that we sometimes find ourselves in? When we want to give up, what do we need to think about? We turn to James chapter 5 and verse 11. James says the following, behold, we count them happy which hupomeno, which stay under. We count them happy which stay under, which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very merciful or full of compassion, pitiful, and of tender mercy. Oh, who can forget Job? The Bible says that we count them happy who endure. We will not associate happiness with Job, would we? Because we understand his life. And it's not easy for Job the boxer, if you will, as he's sitting there on the ashes of his life, and Satan is beating him down and says, take that, Job, I'll take your family. Take that, Job, I'll take all your possessions. Take that, Job, I will afflict you with boils and sores. Take that, Job, you are nothing. I'm going to try to destroy you. And it would have been so easy for Job to say, you know what, I'm going to give up. Even Mrs. Job, she said, curse God and die. But what did he do? He says, if the Bible says, in all this, Job did not sin. What is it that he did? He stayed under. He stayed under. He took the beatings. And he did not sin, even when all of those terrible things happened to him. We have not had happen to us what happened to Job. I think we can confidently say that none of us in this room have had to us happen to us what happened to Job. And if Job, who is a man just like us, if he can endure, if he can stay under, then certainly I can stay under, no matter what happens. No matter what comes upon me, I can stay under. I can be counted happy, James says. The way we make it through these trials is to endure, to stay under, to have patience, knowing that the Lord is extremely compassionate and he is merciful. Please understand, God is not doing this to you. Please get it out of your mind. People say someone has passed away. Well, that must be God's way of trying to test you. No! No, he's not trying to test you. Imagine a God that kills your siblings, that kills your spouse, so that he can test you. That's not a God I want to serve. That's not a God you read about in the Bible. God doesn't tempt man to evil, nor does he tempt any man. This is life. This is sin. And we understand that. And yes, Job could endure because he understood that the Lord is compassionate. When you're going through trials, you might be going through something right now. Please understand, the Lord is compassionate. He's not going to leave you down and out. He's not going to leave you there to rot and just to die. He knows about your struggles. And so you are able to endure, you're able to be patient, because you know God will take care of me. He will help me. But then also we need patience with God. We need patience with people. We need patience in circumstances, but we need patience with God. God not only demands our patience, he deserves our patience. Sometimes we take foolishness to a whole new level. Let's just stay in the church. We take foolishness to a whole new level. We believe and we say that God is all-knowing. We believe that he is omnipotent. We believe that he is omnipresent. We believe that he knows everything. We say we believe that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. But yet when we pray, we don't have the faith to believe that he is going to answer that prayer or that he's going to help us. But we believe. That's faith without works. By the way, James is written to Christians. It's not written to the faith-only people out there in the world. It's written to Christians because there were certain Christians who were professing a belief, but they were not practicing it. James says faith without works is dead. If we believe that God can do all things, if we believe that he can help, then we certainly need to act like it. We say we believe, But do we? Sometimes I believe we are like Sarah and we laugh at God's ability. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 12. When the Lord told her she was going to conceive, she found that funny. When the Lord got to heaven and told her this is what's going to happen, she found that funny because she was in her old age. So she thought, well, how is that even going to happen? I believe sometimes we are like that. When we pray for something, we don't really believe it's going to happen. When the Lord has given us instruction to go out into the entire world, we don't believe it can get done. And we laugh at God's ability. We understand that God is not going to do the miraculous, but sometimes we act as if God's hands are tied, as if He can't do anything providentially. And so we say, oh, it can't happen. It won't happen. Sometimes we try to take matters into our own hands when we're not patient. Just like Sarah did in Genesis chapter 16 and verse 13, she says, here you go, Abraham. Why don't you take her? And she knows how it works. And she said, God is taking too long. I'm just going to take matters into my own hands. Sometimes we do the same thing. God is taking too long for us, so we're going to take matters into our own hands. That's when sin comes into play. That's when we're starting doing things that God has not commanded of us. That's when we're starting to walk away from God. We need patience with God. We need patience in prayer. We need to grasp that God does not work on our time schedule. How arrogant of us to pray for patience or to pray for something and then expect God to deliver it when we want it to. When we want God to deliver it. How arrogant of us to think such a thing. That the God of heaven who made us out of dust would be concerned and say, well, I better do what my creation wants. I better make sure that they are happy because they're going to be upset and leave me. That's not the God of heaven. Read Revelation chapter 3 and verse 16. The Lord says, you know what? You are lukewarm. I wish that you were either cold or hot. This is the God of heaven who gave His Son, who is telling His people, I wish that you were lost in sin. I wish that you would rather be lost in sin or on fire for me, but the fact that you're in the middle makes me sick. That's the God we serve. Certainly we cannot expect the God of heaven to pander to our desires. How will we be able to stand and fight the good fight? How will we be able to live this life if we don't have patience? If we don't trust God in prayer? Have you ever had that aha moment? You know, when you've been praying for something, and you've been praying for something, and you've been praying for something, and you got frustrated about it, and you said, well, I don't understand what God is doing. I don't understand why He's taking so long. Of course you don't understand. You don't have His mind. You can't see the future like He does. And so we don't understand, and we get upset with ourselves, and we say, well, what is God doing? And then finally, the prayer that you have prayed for, it comes to fruition. God answers the prayer in the positive, and you go, okay, I got it. It worked out better. It worked out better. You know, that aha moment should cause us to have more faith in God. It should cause us to say, you know, last time it worked out. I'm going to trust God and be patient with Him. It's going to work out again. He's coming up here. We need patience with God in prayer. Let's consider the attitude of patience real quick. The attitude of patience. I think it is here where the rubber meets the road. Patience is not the ability to wait. It's about the attitude displayed while waiting. You know, anyone can wait. If you make a child wait, he will wait. But what is his attitude while he's waiting? We're standing in the line at Walmart and we're trying to check out. And you know that she's taking very long and you have to wait if you want to check out. But what's your attitude while you're sitting there? Isn't that how it goes? We see them in line. We get so frustrated because we have to wait 5 minutes more. Because our lives are so busy, we can't wait 5 minutes for the things that we want, that we need. And so we see the attitude is very important. We have to understand that the patience promotes the attitude of mercy. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 26, the Bible says, the servant therefore fell down and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, have patience with me. The servant begged for patience, and this is how the master responded. Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him his debt. Mercy involves patience, and patience involves mercy. Because I have patience with folks, I understand that they will mess up at times, and I understand that I need to give them some time. and so I'm going to have mercy. It promotes the attitude of obedience. Impatience leads to disobedience. Sarah could not wait on God. Disobedient she was. Israel could not wait for Moses to come down from the mount, and so they were disobedient. Saul could not wait for Samuel to come back, and so he forced himself to offer sacrifices. Disobedience. Impatience breeds disobedience. Continuing to do the will and work of God requires patience. Hebrews chapter 10, 35 and 36 says, "Therefore do not cast away the confidence which has great reward, for you have need of endurance," patience, "so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." You need to be patient. You need to endure and continue to do the will and work of God so that you might receive the promise. Patience promotes obedience. But then also patience promotes hope. 1 Thessalonians 1 verses 2 and 3 says, "We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith." Faith works. He says your labor of love. Love is an action. And your patience of hope. Hope is a desire of something good. Is the expectation of obtaining. I hope I go to heaven in a biblical sense. Meaning that I desire to go and I know I'm going to get it. I don't wish to go. I know I'm going. But that's the biblical concept of hope. Hope produces patience, and patience produces hope. You cannot be patient without hope, and you cannot have hope or be hopeful without patience. Patience cultivates the attitude of mercy. It promotes the attitude of obedience, and it's saturated with the attitude of patience. Consider the abuse of patience. Very quickly, we'll mention these things. Patience has been abused. Number one, it's been altered. It's been meant to mean something that it does not. We compromise people. When they want people to continue in sin, they say, "Oh, we have to be patient with them because they want them to continue in sin. You have to be patient with me." There's a difference between compromise, tolerance, and patience. Patience is not the patience is mercy when a person has sinned. It is not license for a person to continue in sin. And so we have to understand that patience has been altered by some. The Bible always tells us to be ready, to be zealous. Today is the day of salvation. But then also patience has no limit, somebody says. Please understand that at some point the Lord will have to send His Son. At some point His patience will run out. At some point the Lord's patience will come to an end, and He will say, "It's time to take my children home and to go into eternity." Patience has a limit. God's patience has a limit. But then also patience has been abandoned. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, the Bible says, "Or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing the goodness of God leads to repentance?" God's patience should lead to repentance. I know what I've done in my life, and I realize how patient God has been with me. You know I need to do better because He's been patient with me. I'm going to take an extra 5 minutes here. I hope you don't. Is there a trap door?
Yes.
Consider the advantage of patience very quickly. Why should we be patient? Because there's advantage in it. You know, God does not give us commands for us just to do without there being some advantage for us, not only in the next life, to go to the next life in eternity, but in this life as well. Patience produces perfection. James says that when we have done all those things and we have patience, we need to allow patience to have the perfect work in us, that we may be complete, full grown and mature. If you want to be a mature Christian, add to your faith the things that we talked about this week. Add to your faith patience. That's how maturity comes. Patience is not the end goal. Patience is not the goal. Maturity is the goal. And so the Lord says, add patience. But then also the Bible tells us patience breeds profitability. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, "For if you do these things, if these things abound or are in you, you are neither barren nor unfruitful." The Lord says, if you want to be profitable in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, add these things to your life. Add patience to your life. Sometimes we find in our congregations a lot of useless servants. Good for nothing. Blind, the Bible says, unfruitful, nearsighted, spiritually blind, fruitless. Why? Because they're not adding to their faith. They're not adding patience. But then also patience breeds or promotes, has the advantage of preservation. 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 10 and 11, therefore brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never fall. Do you realize that there is a doctrine in the Bible that says once you're saved, you can be always saved? It is not the false doctrine that the denominational world teaches. There's a condition, he says, if you do these things, if you do what God has instructed you to do, you can be sure of your salvation. There is a security in salvation that is promised to the saints by God. He says, you follow these things, you will be saved. If I'm faithfully serving God, adding to my faith, I don't wish to go to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven. Jude says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. God is able to keep you from falling. He's given you the instruction manual on how to do it. We just have to follow it. Let me leave you with the following words from Lamentations chapter 3, verses 25 and 26. The Lord is good to them that wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. I thank you so much for your kind attention and for the opportunity to be with you this weekend. It has indeed blessed my life. Thank you.